Father's Day is just around the corner, and you probably need a gift for your hairy dad. Make your dad proud this year and get him and yourself the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right. The Lawnmower 4.0. Get 20% off and free shipping using the promo code HAYES. That's H-A-Y-E-S at manscaped.com. Use the promo code HAYES at manscaped.com.
Speaking of coming back, the Canadian Football League, August 5th, a 14-game season. Pretty exciting stuff. I get the impression like there's going to be a lot of fans in the stands, certainly by the end of the year. And the man with the most updates, the only update we care for, here's our TSN CFL insider, our good buddy Dave Naylor. Pretty exciting day, I would say, Nail Gun.
Yeah, it is. And I often say, and with all due respect to athletes in all sports, football players love football more than any athletes I know love their sport. I think it has something to do with like practicing five times for every time you get to play. You got to really love it to do that. And just, you know, seeing the players even on Twitter today, just about the joy about getting back to the field. And obviously what it's been since November of 2019, it's been a long, long time for these guys. And I think, you know, more than anything else, I'm just thinking of those guys getting back to the field today.
What was there one sticking point, Naylor, to come to this decision? Like, what was the major thing that had to happen for these guys to say, okay, we're doing this? Like, was there a major sticking point?
All came down to fans and stands, right? And it always comes back to people look at it and say, well, how come other leagues could play without fans and stands in the Canadian Football League couldn't or didn't? And the reason has to do with two things. One is the television contracts, you know, in something like the NFL or the NBA are enough to carry the business in a way that it's not with the Canadian Football League. And the other thing is, even if there's, like, I don't know the economics, say, of the NHL, I assume that every team is playing is losing money playing with no fans in the stands. But if your franchise is worth, you know, $500 million, which would be the minimum in the NHL, I would assume, or upwards, you know, you're willing to lose tens of millions of dollars just to keep your team out in front of the camera, in front of the stands. It's an investment in your franchise to keep playing and losing money. In the CFL, where the franchise values are nowhere near that, I mean, a team isn't going to lose $10 million in a year to play so they can protect the value of a franchise that's, you know, worth that amount or less. So it really did come down to, can we get fans in stands? And they haven't gotten those guarantees, O-Dog, because governments don't like to give those out any earlier than they have to, but they've been given assurances that, hey, as long as the trends continue the way they're going with the vaccines, as long as the caseloads continue to come down, here's what we see happen. They're going to open the season the first two or three weeks exclusively on the prairies in Manitoba, Saskatchewan, and Alberta. They're going to move to Ontario later in August, but those governments have been the most aggressive in terms of giving them assurances that, hey, there will be at least a, you know, 35% and upward open in the stands. And that really is what it came down to.
Yeah, and I think from that standpoint, you can certainly hope and maybe bank on a 100% capacity for the playoffs and into the Grey Cup.
Yeah.
And so what are we talking here in terms of the way the season may play out with the divisions, the playoffs? I know there's been a lot of debate back and forth. Will they expand the playoff structure? How this is going to factor in? What can you tell us about that with the CFL?
They're going to go with the traditional playoff structure and divisions, you know, four teams in the East, five in the West, and six out of nine making the playoffs, unless, this is the unless part, unless somehow, you know, the season gets shortened by another wave, by teams that have outbreaks and you can't reschedule games because it's football. You just can't play a doubleheader the next day, you know, things like that. And then they would look at it and say, maybe, okay, you know, maybe some teams got to play more games than others, so it's not fair to have a playoff format that eliminates teams that play fewer games, so things like that, then maybe you have the ability to add two teams to the playoff pool, which is essentially saying, let's have a playoff tournament, right? If you're letting eight or nine teams into the playoffs, yes, you're going to have seeding, but essentially what you're saying is, hey, this is a one-off, this is a weird year, there were things we couldn't deal with, and we think it's in the best interest of the league to just have eight teams in the playoffs and play it down from there. Now, the commissioner was asked about that today. He really played down that possibility and played up the fact that they're going to go with their traditional playoff structure. But I think that's just sort of a card they can put in their back pocket in the event that this gets messy. And they want to just say, okay, instead of eliminating teams in the regular season, we're just going to have a playoff tournament.
Nails, is it scramble mode now? Like, everybody get your ass to Canada, get in here, let's try to get rosters together, et cetera, et cetera?
Is it ever, O-Dog? Like, teams have been looking at flights, you know, putting them on hold, waiting to hit go. You know, they got training camp locations kind of tentatively booked. And, yeah, I would say that the minute my tweet went out at about 1:15 this afternoon, they started booking those flights. And that's it. I mean, the players are going to have to do – I mean, they haven't got the approval, but they're going to get the approval for a modified quarantine, same as the NHL had. So it's basically 7 days at home starting on the 25th of June. You come to camp on the 2nd of July. You've got another 7-day quarantine there with your team, and you hit the field on the 10th. So, yeah, I mean, and a lot of these teams, you know, laid people off. Obviously, without having a year of football, there was a lot of staff trimming, some of it temporary, some of it maybe not so temporary. So they're going to be doing a lot over the next 6 to 8 weeks with less to get this all underway.
What did you make of the Edmonton's name change, the Elks?
you know what, Jamie? I know you're from Edmonton, so you grew up, you know, in the shadow of what was really the CFL dynasty team, right? Through the 70s and 80s, a very proud name, a very proud logo, all that. Yeah. Look, I like it, but I was actually surprised at how positive the reaction was. I mean, people seem to like – I mean, there's a debate about the grammar of elk versus elks, right, which apparently they, like, used the Oxford Dictionary and talked to linguistic experts and found out that you can use either. Who knew? Right? I didn't know that. But I think with the logo, there's some really cool design. Like, you know, they've kind of adapted what you saw for the Rams helmet, sort of, you know, that we've seen that in college and pro – with their own kind of elk design on it, and they kept the EE, they kept the colors, and I'm actually like it, and I mean, I'm surprised how favorably it was received, given, you know, there was a lot of consternation about walking away from that name. There seemed to be a lot less about accepting a new one. So, yeah, I'm good with it. How about you, as an Edmontonian?
And an alumni of the organization, a former employee,
I saved Water Commonwealth Boy. Stadium from burning down a fire, but that's a different story. But it's grown on me because, you know what, talking to all my buddies back home, some were against it, some loved it, and I guess the kind of middle ground is they would call it Elkies.
That's great. It's been around for a month, and people are already like, I can't call it that. I have to call it something else.
Right. It's like there's good. A nickname for it.
A nickname,
you know?
For your nickname. Yeah.
For your
exactly.
new nickname.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. That sounds about right. Well, with that frame of mind, the reception, let me paint a picture to you now, Gunn. The border opens up. It's all good. Americans are coming across. Canadians are going the other way. And at some point in, let's say, October, at a Rough Rider Blue Bomber game in Saskatchewan, The Rock is in the house wearing an XFL jacket, and he gets up on the big screen. What kind of reaction do you think he'd get?
It's funny you should bring that up, because I was actually thinking of this. As soon as now the season was on, things have been going through my head this afternoon. When's the first time The Rock makes an appearance here?
Right.
Because that's the other storyline that's going to play out here, you know, over the next month, a few months. That story hasn't gone away. Boy. In Winnipeg or Saskatchewan, oh boy, I bet it's more positive than negative, but it would be a good chunk of both. I mean, that is the heartland. That is the traditional, you know, that's where the teams aren't struggling, like where they don't feel like they need to change into something else. And things are good. But I also think there's a lot of people that understand that this league has to adapt, has to grow, has to see beyond its borders. And for the future, they believe in this, or at least they want to see this played out as much as possible. I'm going to say 60-40 positive on the Rock on the big screen at IG Field in Winnipeg.
Okay. I like it. I like it. Go ahead, Owen.
Nails, before we get you out of here, another storyline that hasn't really gone away in the CFL before we left the last time is people getting in to watch the Argos. The status of that organization as far as support from the people. Pinball Clemens has taken over. Yep. How do you think things play out as far as the Argos are looking here moving forward?
Well, on the field, I think they've done a really good job, what they've done the last two off seasons. So I think they should be better on the field. They got big questions still in the most important position on the field, the quarterback. But they, I think overall they've done a good job with their roster. Pinball gives them – I mean, look, Pinball Clemens is the most recognizable Toronto Argonaut of the last 35 years, and it ain't close. Like, I don't know who's number two, right?
But as we know, David, there's no, that doesn't guarantee success in front office or coaching positions.
No, it doesn't. It gives the team some recognition in the community, right? That when he's on camera, people know who he is, people like him, people respect him, you know, just in terms of engagement. I don't think it's a great secret in the CFL that Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment is the most bullish organization on this XFL thing. Like, I think they want to go down this road and make it happen if they can. And I think some of this is going to determine a little bit by, you know, what kind of reception the CFL gets back as it returns here. I don't know. I mean, in some ways, if the league struggles when they come back, does that make it more imperative that they adopt with the XFL? In other ways, if they're strong, maybe they look like a better partner for the XFL. I don't really know how that plays into this, but I do know that in terms of the future of the Toronto Argonauts, you know, behind closed doors, the Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment is the group that is most interested in seeing where this XFL thing goes. It would be nice, you know, this will be year season number 5 that the Argos have been at BMO. For 3 of those seasons, they've been terrible. For 1 of them, they were 9-9, and they got hot in the playoffs. It would be nice to see some better football at BMO Field, and I think there's a good chance that we're going to see that this season.
Well, it's good to know that it is going to happen. 14-game schedule as of now, starting on August 5th. The CFL is back. We look forward to seeing it, and we'll get you back on well before then. Thank you, Dave. Always appreciate it.
Hey, always great to join you guys, man. Have a great show.
You got it. There's our buddy Dave Naylor, TSN Football Insider.